Our lesson this morning comes from Acts 2, verses 1 through 21, and I'm reading from Eugene Peterson's The Message. Hear God's Word. When the feast of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Without warning, there was a sound like a strong wind, gale force. No one could tell where it came from, and it filled the whole building. Then, like a wildfire, the Holy Spirit spread through their ranks, and they started speaking in a number of different languages as the Spirit prompted them. There were many Jews staying in Jerusalem just then, devout pilgrims from all over the world, and when they heard the sound, they came on the run. Then, when they heard one another, their own mother tongues being spoken, they were thunderstruck. They couldn't for the life of them figure out what was going on and kept saying, "Aren't these all Galileans? How come we're hearing them talk in all our various mother languages? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, visitors from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus in Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belong to Cyrene. Immigrants from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, even Cretans and Arabs. And they're speaking our languages, describing God's mighty works. Their heads were spinning. They couldn't make head or tail of any of it. And they talked back and forth, confused. What's going on here?" Oh, others joked, "They're just drunk on cheap wine." Well, that's when Peter stood up and, backed by the other 11, spoke out with bold urgency. "Fellow Jews, all of you who are visiting Jerusalem, listen carefully and get this story straight. These people, they're not drunk on wine, as some of you suspect. They haven't had time to get a drink. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. This is what the prophet Joel announced would happen. He said, 'In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on every kind of people. Your sons will prophesy, also your daughters. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And when the time comes, I'll pour out my spirit on those who serve me, men and women both, and they'll prophesy. I'll set up wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth below. And blood, and fire, and billowing smoke, the sun turning black, and the moon blood red. Before the day of the Lord arrives, the day tremendous and marvelous, and whoever calls out for help to me, God will be saved." May God give us understanding of his holy word, and let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Amen. I've got a confession to make this morning. You know the sermon title that I have right there? Are you ready for answers? I know that I am ready for answers, but I have no idea how I came up with that title this week. Let me give you a little backstory on that. Every week as I'm preparing my message, I start, of course, with the scriptures. And I try to really listen to how God is speaking to me in that moment and in those scriptures. And then I have to get Valerie the bulletin information pretty early, so I get that all written up and get it passed on to her. But a funny thing happens. As I am living into the scriptures during the week, I hear new things constantly speak to me. And such was the case this week. I have a hunch that as I started with this scripture, talking about the Holy Spirit, thinking about we ourselves and the journey that we're on to discover who God wants us to be, and then thinking in contrast with the early church, because you know what? This is the birthday of the church. In this passage, it talks about the very start of the original church. And so, yeah. I want answers. I'm ready for answers. I'm ready to know who God wants us to be and what he wants us to do. Now this passage, it's interesting in that so much of it is about the Holy Spirit. And how often do we talk about the Holy Spirit really in the church, right? We tend to kind of be drawn to things that we can touch, that we can see, that seem rational, that seem, you know, like we can argue and prove. And so when you start talking Holy Spirit, you can get just a little bit uncomfortable. We like everything planned, don't we? Doesn't it make you feel more comfortable when you can come into a service and you got the thing, you got the list right here, and you know what's supposed to happen? Okay, I'm supposed to stand up here. I sit down here. Okay, I'm going to be singing this song here. We got a prayer, right? Does that make you feel more secure? Even when I mess up all the time and do it differently? Right? But that's just between us. Yeah. 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 We're control freaks. Let's be honest. We like to know that things are planned out and that we're secure. And we have this illusion that somehow if we know everything that's going to happen and we have some say in it, that all will be well. We've got the apostles there. They're missing one. They lost Judas. He ended up committing suicide after his betrayal. So they've just taken a vote and they've replaced him. And they're all fired up. They're all ready to see what happens. And yeah, they're looking for some answers. And they're waiting to see, what is God going to do? Now Jesus has left them. And he left them with a promise that the Holy Spirit, a comforter, but I would like to say also a challenger, is going to be in their midst. So they're there and they're gathered together. And all of a sudden, imagine for a minute, these winds, you're gathered together just like we are here, right? Now imagine, these winds come blowing through, they're powerful, the noise. And then they see flames of fire and people are drawn from all over the place. It's the most exciting, phenomenal thing they've ever seen. They don't know how to explain it. They don't know what's going on. And then they hear everybody talking in all these different languages. There are people from all over the world, and they're speaking all these languages, but they're understanding each other as well. It's impossible. It's impossible. I mean, even in a time, a day and age, before all of our scientific discoveries, before we become, you know, used to coming up with logical explanations, it had to be absolutely amazing and stunning and surprising to them to see all this going on. Powerful, powerful stuff. And that was the beginning. Keep in mind, these were ordinary people. They're people like you and me. They were tradespeople. They were fishermen. They were farmers. They were housewives. They were widows. They were people who were struggling just to get through the day, just to keep themselves and their families fed. Sound familiar? Just a little bit? Yeah. They weren't people of wealth. They weren't people of power. They weren't people of significance. They were just people like us, looking, yeah, for answers. Looking for answers. Okay. Jesus told us that something was coming up. Jesus told us what we were supposed to do. But now, how do we do it? Where are the resources? And what they didn't realize was they had the most powerful thing of all. They had the Holy Spirit. They had a spirit that caught them on fire. They were passionate. They were excited. They were filled with an enthusiasm. And they could hardly wait to get out there and share it. Now, something I want to mention to you, too. There's an old story a gentleman tells about how he was out cleaning out his yard and his acreage and saw this dead wood, and he started chopping. Chopped down a bunch of what he thought were dead trees. Later on that spring, he was a little bit upset to discover that there were green sprouts coming out of the trees that he thought were dead. And so as he looked at it, he turned to his son and he said, "Well, here's a lesson for you." He said, "Never go chopping dead wood in winter." Now, the lesson for us, number one, We've been through some challenging times, and it'd be easy for us as a congregation to just give up. There are churches right now that are. Churches that have more resources than we do who said, well, maybe it's our time to shut the doors. But I say no. And you say no. We know that whether we can always see what God has in mind, that He has something in mind. And that as we're faithful and we're patient, He brings out those green sprouts. So first thing we're going to do is we're going to wait and we're going to watch. And we're not going to do any chopping. The second thing that's really important for us to know is that God works with people who are willing. And in those early days, we like to think that maybe it was the apostles that got things going, the disciples, but no, you know who it was? It was the people. It was the everyday people. They were the ones, the apostles and disciples, they would come in and they might share some news, they might say a few words and get things going, but it was the people who stayed and did the work, who reached out to other people, who had a fire in their hearts and who shared it. That's why we have the church today. So, there's several things that are going on. First of all, we have to get past the sense that we have to control everything and we have to let God work in us. And secondly, we need to collect ourselves together, work together, think together, pray together, and then let God use that power to multiply and to reach out and to touch other lives. The third thing is that we've got to know that we're not just in this for ourselves. That early church, a lot of their powers, they were looking out for each other. They were working together as friends and as family. They cared for each other. And if one person was in need, they helped that person. And the scriptures talk about how they always had plenty because they were all there helping each other, looking out for each other. And that's what we have to be committed to doing too, is looking out for each other and reaching out beyond. Finally, we have to know, as these scriptures told us, that we're a church that is open to everyone. Wherever they are in their lives, whatever part of their journey they are, that we're the kind of church that is open to that and welcoming to that, and where we help each other through those difficult times. A lot of you have heard of Tony Campola. He's written a lot. He's spoken a lot of places. He's very dynamic. And he tells this really fascinating story that I think describes how the church is supposed to be. He tells about how he flew to Hawaii. He was part of a big conference there. And being from the East Coast, he was really struggling with the time change. So come 3:30 in the morning, he's wide awake. He can't get to sleep. So he decides he's just going to go down to a little diner that's down the street. And if he's awake anyway, he might as well go and have a cup of tea or something. So he goes and he sits in this diner. And he's there for a minute. The waiter serves the tea. Guy behind the counter, he's sitting there at the counter, little tiny diner. And these women start trooping in. There's about 9 women, and they're clearly prostitutes. And they all come in, and they're pretty rowdy, and they're pretty noisy, and talking among themselves. And he overhears, can't help but overhear the conversation, because they're sitting on both sides of him, and all around, the diner's pretty small. And he hears one of them say, "Well, tomorrow's my birthday." And then he hears one of the others say, "Well, so what do you want me to do about it? Huh? You expect me to bake you a cake or something? Expect me to throw a big party for you or something?" He's really giving her a hard time, really being kind of nasty even. And the woman says, "No, I don't expect you to do anything for my birthday. I've never had a birthday party in my life. I don't think this is going to be any different this year." So they're going back and forth and back and forth. And eventually they leave, and Tony's still there. And he turns to the owner there, and he says, how about we throw that woman, what do you know her name? He says, "Yeah, her name is Agnes. How how about if we throw Agnes a birthday party tomorrow? I'm willing to get all the stuff for it, and if you don't mind, if you let me do it, I'll decorate the place and I'll buy a cake. And the guy says, no, you can do it, but I'll furnish the cake. So I think that's a good idea. Agnes is a good woman. She's a kind woman. She's a really nice woman. And so the next morning, in the wee hours, Tony shows up. He's got the crepe paper. He's got the decorations, the big happy birthday banner. And he's decorating the place. He gets it all fixed up, and the owner's got the birthday cake there. And 3:30, these women all come trooping in, and they're just frozen in their tracks. They're stunned. As Tony and the owner, they start singing, happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday dear Agnes, happy birthday to you, and many more. And Agnes just breaks down in tears. The tears are just flowing like crazy. And everybody is stunned. And she sees the cake, and she can't believe it. A cake for her. And so she says, I've never had this cake, a cake before. Can I keep this cake? Can I take it? And the owner says, sure, you can take it home with you if you want. She says, could I? She says, I only live a block away. Could I take it with me now, take it home? And so she does. Everybody's stunned, but she takes the cake. She takes the cake and she walks out the door. She says, I'll be back in just a minute. I just want my cake. So she heads out the door, and Tony's left there, and he does what any pastor does, I'm afraid. He says, how about if we say a word of prayer? So here he is with the women and the owner. And he says a word of prayer. He prays for Agnes. He prays for all the women. He prays for their futures. And amen. And the owner of the story says, you didn't tell me you're from a church. What kind of church are you from anyway? And Tony thinks for a minute. He says, I'm from the kind of church that throws birthday parties for prostitutes. And the owner looks at him for a minute. He says, I never heard of that kind of church. I might go to that kind of church. Yeah. That's the kind of church God wants us to be. That's the kind of love that God wants us to extend. That's the kind of fire God wants us to have, to love all His people wherever they are in their journeys. Do you know that it's been shown over and over that the thing that people need the most in their lives is love, and that most of the stupid stuff that we do, the mistakes we make, come out of our desire to be loved? That love is already there, guys. It's already there. And God has called you and me to share that news, to share that love. Is there anything that could get us more excited than that? Is there anything that could be more exciting, that could get us fired up more than being the source of the most critical thing that any person in life needs? And we've got it. So let that wind wail. Let that fire burn. And let's get fired up. Let's spread that love. Let us pray. Almighty God, use us. Use us. Fill us with your Spirit. And even when you shake us up, even when you break through what feels safe and comfortable to us, even when you blow our plans to the wind, Lord, help us be open to whatever it is and help us to follow. In Jesus' name, amen.